Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. We have a very, very special and important show, so we want all of our listeners to pay close attention. Back again with us is Julie Menon. Julie Menon is an attorney, a civic leader, but Julie Menon led three New York City agencies. She was Commissioner of Consumer Affairs, Mayor's Office of Media and Entertainment, and specifically as the Commissioner of Consumer Affairs, she increased consumer restitution by 70%. But Julie is here in her capacity as the New York City Census 2020 Executive Director. Did I say that right? I might have botched it.
No, that's wonderful. Okay. I'm the Director of the Census. Thank you, Greg, for having me.
You're very welcome. And this is, I believe, your second time on Reaching Out, but not in this capacity.
Yes, exactly. I'm a repeat guest.
Okay. So this is a very important undertaking that you've taken on for New York City. And we want our listeners to understand that this is a nonpartisan issue. So I want you to tell us, our listeners, what is the census and why is it so special?
So the census is embedded in Article 1 of the Constitution, and the census is required every 10 years to count every single person in the United States. The reason that it is so important is really for two main reasons. One, funding. We're fighting for our fair share in New York City of over $650 billion that the federal government allocates each and every year across the country for over 300 programs, public housing, public education, senior centers, Medicaid, Head Start, hundreds of programs. The second reason it's so important, Greg, is for congressional representation. So congressional lines are drawn based on the census. We had a height of 43 members of Congress in New York State in 1953. Today, we have 27. In an undercount in the census, we would fall to 25.
So it's very important that we have representation. And that's a nonpartisan issue because these seats are not Republican or democratically controlled seats. They're seats that the voters have to vote on.
They're for the people. I mean, this is democracy in action. And unfortunately, for the first time in a very, very long time, the census has really been weaponized. And I say that because the census is supposed to be nonpartisan. However, the Trump administration tried illegally and unsuccessfully to put a question in the census for the first time in 70 years that would have asked, are you a U.S. citizen? He tried to add that question to the census. I also have a senior role at the law department, and we sued. We were a plaintiff on this case that ended up in the Supreme Court, and we won that case. So the citizenship question is not on the census. That's the good news. The bad news is President Trump continues to tweet about it. We had an amazing coalition working on this case. So the city working in very close conjunction, of course, with the New York Attorney General's office. And it's so wonderful that this case was won. But we really have a lot of work to let New Yorkers know that the citizenship question is not on the census and the census is safe and confidential to fill out.
You know, that's an important issue. I call it. They have the, when Patrick Ewing was playing for the Georgetown, his coach John Thompson told him to block everything that came through.
Right.
And he didn't care if it was goaltending and it counted as 2 points. He said that will put fear in them. They won't be back.
Right.
So that's what this is the equivalent of doing.
That's exactly right. I mean, look, even though we won the case, to some extent, we lost on the public opinion part of this in the sense that the president has continued to spread misinformation about the census. But the good news is New York City's fighting back. We've created this Office of the Census. So the mayor appointed me as a director of the census, and the mayor and the city council combined allocated $40 million for our efforts. So we are fighting back. And what I like to tell people is if you really want to be part of the resistance, the single best thing you can do is take the 2 minutes it takes to fill the census out. But to be clear, look, we need to count Republicans, independents, Democrats, those that aren't politically involved at all. The census is for everyone. It's not about a partisan play or not. It's about ensuring that the city gets its fair share of funding and its fair share of congressional seats.
Now here's something that's a lot of people don't talk about. You know, Jesus was counted in the census.
Right, right.
Because his parents, Mary and Joseph, were on their way to be counted in the census because Augustus Caesar wanted every Roman citizen in the Roman Empire to be counted in the census. So they were on their way to be counted in the census when Jesus was born. He was counted in the census.
It's an incredible history. I mean, the census has such a rich and interesting history over the years. I think a lot of people, and I found this to be true in New York City, are not even aware of why the census is important. So they think, oh, this is some boring government form. Why do we need to be counted? Why is the government asking me these 10 questions? But then if you tell them, did you know if you don't take the 2 minutes it takes to fill this out that you will lose funding for your child's public school or your mother's senior center or your neighbor's Head Start program? Their eyes open up and they said, you know what? I had no idea that that's what the census was about. So it's our job in the city to basically communicate that message, because what's happened in the past around the census is the messaging was always done by the federal government. And the message was, fill the census out. It's in the Constitution. It's a law. It's your civic duty. Well, no one cared. And that's why in 2010, the city's self-response rate to the census was 61.9%. 61.9% of New Yorkers self-responded. That's abysmal. I mean, we're New Yorkers. We're a competitive bunch by nature. We can, and we've got to do better, because after all, this is a nationwide competition.
And how many seats did New York State have in 2010?
We lost two.
We went
from 29 to 27, and it's estimated an undercount that we could lose two more. But let me be clear, it's not only about losing those seats. But then where do those seats go? One of the reasons why we fought and we sued the Trump administration on the citizenship question is because basically they added the question to try to integrate immigrant communities into not filling the census out. And documents showed that there was a political intent towards that, that basically they felt for congressional redistricting, it would benefit them, the Republicans, that is, to add the question to the census. And then those seats would largely move to red Republican districts, which, by the way, would change the balance of the Electoral College and affect the presidential election. So, you know, it's not an overstatement. Sometimes I say there's so much at stake with the census. I mean, that's not an overstatement. It's literally everything from democracy as a whole, funding, congressional seats. It's all involved. And it's also not an overstatement to say that the 2020 census is really a major civil rights issue, because it is immigrants largely and communities of color that really would be disenfranchised.
And losing just over 38% of funding, what did that mean to communities?
Well, to be clear, the 61.9% is self-response. That means that people didn't self-response. Then what the federal government does is they send out door knockers, and the door knockers then try to extract the information. The problem with that is the door knockers legally are allowed, after several unsuccessful attempts at knocking on someone's door, to ask a neighbor or someone they meet in the hallway or someone they meet in the elevator, hey, do you know how many people live in apartment 10A? And that person might say one. That's how over a million children under the age of five were left out of the census in 2010. They were never counted. So the government basically tries to do something called imputation, where
that's a million children in New York City.
No, nationwide, under the age of five. So children under five are the number one undercounted population in the census. But the federal government starts to do something called imputation if people are left out. And it's very unreliable data, as is a door knocking. So when you ask, well, what kind of funding, how much funding did we lose out on? We lost out on hundreds of millions of dollars because their information was so inaccurate. So inaccurate. The people who didn't fill it out in 2010, again, the government tries its best to estimate, and that's how all these children were left out.
And for the mothers, the parents, the fathers listening, grandparents listening, what did that mean for education?
It meant that we took a major hit on education. So to be clear, the city gets $1.5 billion a year in public education funds that are related to a census count. Title I, just as an example, $780 million a year to the city. So for every New Yorker that says, hey, I'm not going to be bothered, I'm not filling this form out, that means a direct loss of funding for those programs. So we can't have that. We can't have a situation where only 61.9% of New Yorkers are filling it out. I mean, look, I'm a mom. If my kid came home with a 61.9% on a test, I wouldn't be too happy with that. And New Yorkers shouldn't be too happy with the abysmal self-response rate we have.
Now, I don't have any children. I'm just saying I do have two kids. But I'm a person sitting back. It doesn't affect me. I don't need it. It doesn't affect me. Why should I be concerned?
Well, do you care about the roads and bridges? Do you care about them having the funding they need, the streets? Do you care about emergency preparedness, making sure the city is safe? Do you care about perhaps your mother's senior center and you don't want to see your mother lose programming in your senior center? Do you care about public housing and do you want to make sure the public housing gets all the funding it deserves? I could go on and on and on. There are over 300 programs that New Yorkers depend on a daily basis that depend on us getting every single person counted. So literally the most important action that someone can take to affect their community, their family, and their city's future is to take the 2 minutes to answer these 10 questions.
Now, if you went through that whole list, and I don't think there's something on that list that's going to benefit me. But you are guaranteeing every New Yorker that there is something they care about that won't be funded because of their non-participation.
That's exactly right. I mean, New Yorkers might say, well, I might not have children. That doesn't affect me. But what do you not care about Medicaid? Do you not care about Head Start funding? Do you not care about women in need? Do you not care about transportation infrastructure? I really can't think of a New Yorker that couldn't find something on this list of 300 programs that doesn't affect their daily life. It is literally the most important action they can take. And Greg, the best way, honestly, to think about the census, it's a nationwide competition. So for every New Yorker that says, I'm not going to be bothered, I'm not filling this thing out, all that means is other states get our money and they get our political power and representation.
Well, we're New Yorkers. We're competitive. We don't want to give away anything. I mean, we have pride. Look, our Knicks are losing. We got to win at something.
Exactly. We got to win on the census. We need to be number one. So it's interesting. In 2010, the neighborhood that had the highest self-response rate in the city was Washington Heights and Inwood. And that community out-organized every other neighborhood in the city. We need every community in 2020 to beat their 2010 number. And let me just say, the federal government thinks we can't do it. The federal government estimates that our self-response rate is going to fall from the abysmal 61.9% that it was in 2010 to 58%. So we need New Yorkers to put their competitive spirit on. This is a competition. We need to do this. And the good news with the 2020 census, I've told you a lot of bad news about all the challenges. The good news is it couldn't be easier to fill the census out. For the first time ever, you can fill it out online. You can go starting on March 12th at 6 a.m., starting at 6 a.m. on March 12th, to the website 2020census.gov, and you can fill it out online. You just need to enter your name and address. If you don't want to do that, there will be a 1-800 number you can call. And if you don't want to do that, you can still fill it out the traditional paper form way.
You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President Local 237 Teamsters. Our very special guest is Julie Menon, and she is the director of New York City Census 2020. How are other ways that we could reach out to try to complete the census? Are there churches set up? Mm-hmm. Are there centers set up? Is there somewhere, walk-in places that we could go?
I'm so glad you're asking that, because it's really yes to all of the above. So in our citywide initiative, we have a $40 million budget. And with that budget, we've allocated $19 million to 157 community organizations on the ground that are their trusted voice in their respective community. Then we're partnering with 1,000 houses of worship. We're doing faith-based weekends around the census, embedding census messaging into sermons, having houses of worship, civic organizations, and our public library system serve as pop-up centers with computer terminals so that for those that don't have access to broadband, they can go into one of those locations and fill it out. So there's so many different things that we're doing to try to spread the word. We also have divided the city into 245 neighborhoods, and we've created this organizing model called a Neighborhood Organizing Census Committee, NOCCS, or NOCS, like knock on the door. And we have thousands of people volunteering for them. People can go to our website, which is nyc.gov/census, and they can sign up. And look, volunteering couldn't be easier. You can volunteer within your home, an hour a week, 2 hours a week, whatever you want. And we basically give you phone lists to call of your neighbors and text messaging and other ways to reach New Yorkers.
Now, I was going to ask you, how can people get involved? But you just said that. How would they contact you to get involved with the census? I have a lot of pride. I want to get everybody in my neighborhood to fill out the census. Mm-hmm. How would I contact you or someone so I could get involved?
So the best thing is to, again, go on our website, nyc.gov/census, and you can literally volunteer online. What's great is that you can go on our website, you can see how your neighborhood performed in 2010. We have an interactive map, and you can click on your neighborhood, and it'll show how the neighborhood did in 2010. And then you can volunteer to join one of these local neighborhood organizing census committees that work with our office on volunteering. The other incredible thing, Greg, that we're very excited about for this census is starting on March 20th, we're going to put online how every community in the city is doing and how that compared to 2010. So every single day we're getting information from the Federal Census Bureau. We're going to update our website and be able to put down how communities are responding. And that also allows us to bring more attention to the communities that are not responding and to quickly deploy resources to them.
Now, what job opportunities are available with the census?
So there are many. The Census Bureau, the Federal Census Bureau, is hiring thousands of New Yorkers. So those jobs pay $25 to $28 an hour. They're both part-time and full-time. Many of those opportunities, again, you can work from your home. So they're very flexible in terms of time. And so we encourage all New Yorkers who are interested in that to go to the federal government's website at 2020census.gov because they're still hiring. And look, we need people in New York City to volunteer to do that, to work for the Federal Census Bureau. Because last time in 2010, they hired a lot from out of state. And so we had folks from all over the country coming into New York City and knocking on our doors. Well, you know what? That doesn't really work. We want people being hired locally. We want neighbor-to-neighbor contact so that the people knocking on your doors are from your community. You know them. You trust them. And we think that's very important.
Now, would you set up something in New York City, like, say, we have the public housing? Would you go in to contact the tenant leaders in the public housing to have them find people, not volunteers, but to work for the federal government and go throughout the different developments, the housing developments, and count people? They can earn a living.
Yep.
Which I always hear from residents saying that we need job opportunities. That's a job opportunity. It's temporary, but it pays well. And they could be counted so that they could also get more funding for public housing.
Absolutely. We really want residents and tenant leaders in particular of NYCHA to help us in this effort because they're known. You know, I can't overstate this. If the person knocking on your door or asking you to fill the census out is someone that you know, that you trust, it makes all the world of difference. So absolutely. And there's so many job opportunities left. They're hiring right now. So again, we encourage everyone to go to the website 2020census.gov and apply for a job.
That's good. That's good. That's good news. So what about the schools? What plan do we have for our New York City schools?
So we have a lot of plans for the New York City schools because, look, at the end of the day, public education is one of the big ticket items that is directly linked to the census. And whether it's Head Start, whether it's Title I funds, this is all directly linked to the census. So we've got to get this right. We are partnering with our sister city agency, the Department of Education, on this. We're working with everything from the PTAs to parent coordinators to the CECs all across the city. We're working very closely with the UFT. They have partnered with us from the beginning at making sure that teachers are our frontline ambassadors on the census because, again, they're such trusted voices. So it's so important that we have their buy-in, and we really do through the UFT, who's been very involved in making sure to spread the word on the census.
Okay. So we have that. I'm sure you're going to have public service announcements coming up. We're not going to say on every station, we're going to saturate the airwaves. This show will be replayed over and over and over again.
Our media campaign is really a big tool, because one of the historically the problems was around the census is that, again, the federal government did the advertising, and the ads that they would run in New York City were the same ads that they're running in Arkansas. Well, you know what? That doesn't work. New York City is an entity like none, no other, with over 200 languages being spoken. So we need really messaging that resonates with all of our different communities. So that's what the city is doing. We're spending $8 million on our media campaign. 3 million of the eight is going directly to community and ethnic outlets. Cities never spent that kind of money on community and ethnic media. And so we think that's really important. We're advertising in over 16 different languages to reach New Yorkers. We have public service announcements with celebrities. We have TV and radio ads with New Yorkers who really speak about, look, this is what is at stake for me and my family and my community if people don't fill the census out. So we're really using every different tool in our toolbox to make sure that we reach New Yorkers. But we're going to be in a five-week sprint, because March 12th to early May, if you don't fill the census out by early May, the federal government sends someone to knock on your door. We don't want that. So let me make sure that your listeners know, if you want to avoid that doc, if you want to avoid the knock on the door, just fill the census out in the first 5 weeks online, by telephone, or the paper form.
Now, if the federal government comes knocking on the door of public housing and you have the tenant leaders and people available to help them, they could probably identify how many people are in each department. This way, there could be an accurate count.
That's really important, because the problem with door knocking historically is it's one of the most inaccurate forms of data. If someone self-responds to the census, meaning they're filling it out for themselves and anyone living in their home, that's obviously the most accurate, as opposed to a stranger knocking on your door. So yes, having tenant leaders in NYCHA come with the door knockers to fill the form out is incredibly helpful. We can't have the situation that happened in 2010, where all these children under the age of five were left out of the census. They were invisible. I mentioned the million children that were left out in 2010. Those children, Greg, who then enter public schools in kindergarten are not counted again until the next census, which occurs when they're a sophomore.
That means it's 10 years from then.
It's 10 years
right.
before they're counted again.
School.
They're a sophomore in high school before they're counted again. And that's what's really at stake with the census. Like, every day people might say to me, you know what, I don't want to fill this form out, and then they'll give me whatever reason. And I say back to them, but do you know if you don't fill it out, the hundreds of millions of dollars we're going to lose in funding, we're going to lose these congressional seats, but most importantly, you're losing your voice. You're now invisible. You don't count. And when we explain that to people, I think that message really comes across.
And things become more expensive here in New York City, because you have to, in New York State, because you have to charge and have to assess that much more in taxes.
Right. Well, this is exactly right. I mean, we can't lose out on this funding, because this funding, it's like saying, you know, I brought home a pie and I want to make sure I get my fair share of the pie. Someone else eats the other share. That someone else who's eating the other share are other states who might do a better job in getting their residents to fill out the census. I mean, that's why we battled so hard against the Trump administration on the citizenship question, because in a city like New York City, where we have 3.2 million immigrants, the fear surrounding that question is immense. And so now that the question is off the census, we need to make sure that every New Yorker knows that. A lot of New Yorkers still think that that citizenship question is on the census. It's not. And the other thing I'd say about the census is it's completely safe and confidential. It's protected by Title 13 of the U.S. Code, which imposes up to 5-year prison sentence, up to $250,000 fine on any federal employee who shares that data.
Well, that's a lot to think about. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this segment of Reaching Out. Julie, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for giving us the information. And we really appreciate you coming on here.
Thank you so much for having me, Greg.
And if anybody wants to get in contact with you to find out about the census program, once again, where could they contact you?
They can go to our website, nyc.gov/census.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Greg, for having me.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.